episode 53.
The tolerance of the customer for really bad web design or really poor effort at internet marketing is going to start becoming less and less tolerable. Getting traffic's easy. You can bring in tons of traffic. It doesn't matter if nobody ever calls you, though. It's a matter of bringing quality traffic, right?
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results On Point, focusing on a single topic with a guest who goes on point with the subject matter.
A warm welcome to Danny Sanchez, President and CEO of Auto Shop Solutions. Danny, are you ready to go on point?
I am. Thanks for having me, Carm. Looking forward to this.
Hello, aftermarketer Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to episode 53 with Danny Sanchez from Auto Shop Solutions. Hey, how do you listen? Recently, I heard from a listener that he downloads the latest podcasts to his tablet, and he listens while in flight, even if there's no Wi-Fi, and you can take the podcast with you. Another great idea is to download from the site to a USB drive. Again, if there's no internet connection, you can plug into your car, if so equipped, or your tablet or your laptop, and stay up to date on the aftermarket's only dedicated entrepreneurial and industry-focused podcast. Now, Danny Sanchez, owner and founder of Auto Shop Solutions. Danny Sanchez grew up spending countless hours working around his dad's auto repair shop in California, eventually taking over and running the business himself. Auto Shop Solutions started in 1998 when Danny founded Auto Web Solutions. The internet was starting to take off, and Danny took great interest in the powerful marketing benefits it could provide. As a successful shop owner himself, Danny used Auto Web Solutions to consult with other repair shops on their business and web presence. In 2005, when Google launched AdWords and changed its search engine to favor local businesses, Danny saw a huge opportunity for the automotive industry to draw more clients from the internet. With just a handful of clients and a few websites, Danny built the foundations of his company: quality, affordable automotive websites and internet marketing solutions designed exclusively for the auto industry. We cover subjects like social media, SEO, search engine optimization, why having a mobile-friendly website is so important today, and how to create a Google alert on your company, and of course, why marketing continues to be an important tactic in overall revenue growth, and much more. He talks about keeping your site current, as video will start to become an important enhancement to stay relevant. Danny's 30-person company enjoys their hot dog breaks. You'll hear about that. He says caring for people is the foundation for a top-notch company culture, and I'm looking forward one day to have a dog with Danny. A lot to take away from this episode. Now here we go with Danny Sanchez from Auto Shop Solutions, Inc. Well, Danny, you're here because curious minds want to know about all this web stuff, what's going on, and one of the first things that I was thinking about and asking you a question was this thing called Mobilegeddon that happens sometime in August.
So you're right. It was called Mobilegeddon, and it was an algorithm change that Google came out with pretty much to force everybody into really what was a user-friendly format. So Google is wonderful in a lot of different ways and truly a pain in some others. But one of the ways that Google is wonderful is they focus on the user experience, and they have since the very beginning. And that's one of the ways actually that the automotive industry became useful on the internet, or using the internet as a marketing tool, because Google saw how important local search was for people. So this is where this all kind of stemmed from. Google just looking to see how do we make the user experience better.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly with all the mobile devices that are out there, and that's how 50% of the people are actually finding what they're looking for these days, that Google saw the need to make a shift towards being more mobile friendly. What happened was, is many of the websites were not easy to see on a mobile platform. You've probably seen those before, haven't you?
Sure have.
Yeah, and it was a real pain. You had to pinch and zoom the page to try and see something, and you couldn't click on the phone number, right? You remember those?
We learned how to pinch and zoom, though.
You did. You got pretty good at that, but it really wasn't a way to interact with people.
No.
And so Google forced the hand, and for the people who had yet not upgraded to a more mobile-friendly design, is really one of the first times that Google has had like a universal penalty for people not getting up to date with the technology. So they forced a hand. Now, granted, you take a penalty for it, but it's not like they send you a bill. It's just other people are going to push ahead of you in the search. So the penalty really is that you're going to lose opportunities.
You're from a web development company, but what's so interesting about your background is that you started in a shop with a family somewhere out there in California.
Right, that's correct.
Now, I got to tell the world that standing behind Danny is an old Snap-on toolbox. You probably just couldn't give that up, huh?
It's one of my old toolboxes. It's one of the three. The two others are at home. And yeah, it stays in my office. It's a nice reminder of where I come from.
So where you came from to where you are now, not that far of a leap. Because
no.
You basically had what that passion for wanting to do, reach out, market. What was the drive that started you in business?
Yeah, the drive was really to stay in this industry. It's just it's what I know. It's what I'm passionate about. I love cars. I love fixing cars, but I love helping people. And the next evolution in my really place in this industry was to continue to help other shop owners be successful. So it made a nice transition for me, and I didn't have to leave the industry, but I got to do something a little bit different. And this is a passion I've always had. I bought my first computer when I was 16 years old, and it didn't run on tubes, believe it or not. It actually had like a little bit of memory, 64 kilobytes of memory.
Oh, one of those.
Some people remember the old Tandy 1000 EX. You remember those?
I do.
And it sits here as a little icon of when this company first started. So it has a little special place in the office. But I've been building websites for 15 years. So I've seen the internet when it was nothing to what it is today. So I've got that perspective that I bring and help people.
When I think about marketing shops today, and I think about how they were marketed years ago, and I think about Yellow Pages. What a transition from spending full pages on Yellow Pages to developing great, great websites that engage customers. Parallel there, a change? I mean, what happened with the mindset, the paradigm? Did people take the money they were spending on Yellow and move it to internet?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. And if you've ever heard me speak in front of some of the audiences around the country, I can tell you that I'm a little passionate about it. The fact is, no, they didn't. Uh-huh. They canceled their Yellow Page ads, and that was years and years ago, and there wasn't another place really to put their marketing dollars in, so the marketing dollars just went away. They got absorbed into shop supplies and uniform cost increases and payroll increases and parts cost increases, but it didn't stay in marketing, so there was this gap period that really lasted a few years, from really 7 years ago till about three, maybe 2 years ago, where shop owners are now starting to see, wow, I need to create a real budget for marketing because I'm getting left behind from my competitors.
So the next question, which is a perfect segue for me, what do shop owners need to set aside for a marketing budget? What percentage of sales?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking in business, most people, most coaches, most business analysts will tell you should be spending somewhere between 3 and 6%. On your of your revenue on marketing. However, in mind with that number is it really depends a lot on your growth goals. If you want to grow from a $600,000 business to a $1 million business, you can't spend 5% or 4% of $600,000. You've got to spend 4 or 5% of $1 million in order to arrive at that. So it's not that you can just spend 3 to 5% and you're going to grow. You can spend 3% and just plan to maintain.
Okay, so I'm listening to you, and I'm a $600,000 shop who wants to become a $1 million shop. It's a whole lot more than marketing. Obviously, good text, location,
great customer service,
type of shop, good phone skills. Go down the list.
You bet.
How much is good? A good web presence in there. What kind of factor?
So I'm going to answer that question, but I'm going to answer it with a caveat that it all depends on where you're at in the country. So there's somebody listening to this podcast who's in a remote part of North Carolina. You know, he might get away with spending just a couple hundred dollars a month. But if you're in Dallas, Fort Worth area, right. you're a place that's got the kind of competition that it has in those areas, and there's hundreds of shops around you, and many of them are spending the kind of money they do, you may not be competitive with $1,000 or $2,000 a month. You might be still running in the behind.
Should you still do direct mail?
Yeah, direct mail is still really powerful. The only thing different with direct mail that we recommend, though, is mail with nothing digital to go along with it, though, is not near as effective. So so you send somebody a direct mail piece, which we believe in, by the way. You send somebody a direct mail piece, and they get the piece of mail in their hands. They see it. It's a really nice-looking piece. They look at it and say, wow, these guys, maybe I give them a chance. What's the first thing you think they're going to go do before they call you?
Yeah, probably research you on the web.
That's it. So if you don't have good reviews, if you're looking website, if you don't have all the other tools digitally to go along with it, well, then it's a fail because you're getting your fraction of what you could have been had they found everything else online. So what we find is there's a lot of shops who are using direct mail as a standalone and nearly as effective as having a campaign that goes with it.
Web and social media go hand in hand in your mind?
Absolutely. Yes. And we've been talking about social media for 4 years now, that it's something that you're not going to be able to do without. You know, and I don't make a lot of predictions, but when I do, I stand behind them, and I haven't been wrong very many times. And I say not many times because I have been wrong. But social media was definitely not one of them. You're not getting by without participating. It was no longer an option 2 years ago. It was even less of an option a year ago, and it is painfully a penalty to your business at this point in the customer's eyes if you're not participating in some way.
Social and content, they seem to go hand in hand. They seem to be married together, social content. Is content important on a website?
Well, content's important on the website for a couple different reasons. One is you do want to have enough information there for the visitor to latch onto, to read a little bit about you, to get some kind of basic framework. But content is even more important for Google and search engine optimization. And this is where the fire and forget website planning really doesn't help you move along at all. It depends on your market. In some places, you can get by with a very simple template with just the standard text it comes with. In some places, you've got to have custom written content because that's what Google's looking for. So once again, depending on your business, your growth goals, there is a point in which just having standard content gets left behind and where you need to have somebody write custom written content just for your business, because it is still the same thing they said always, content's king.
You said three letters, SEO. And I'll tell you, that makes me shiver because I have a website and I'm not sure I know what I'm doing with it. But how important is a well-designed SEO strategy for a business?
The more competitive your environment, the more critical that it is. And most shop owners are in environments where it's getting to be very critical. If you jumped on the internet, hopefully 5 years ago, when the warnings came out and said everybody needs a professional website, you got an advantage. But now it's getting extremely competitive with shops as they get on board and they start to spend money online. And having an SEO strategy of the which keywords you're going to go after organically, which you're going to use in paid search, and how you balance that out and driving high quality traffic, because getting traffic's easy. You can bring in tons of traffic. It doesn't matter if nobody ever calls you, though. It's a matter of bringing quality traffic, right?
That's right.
Your SEO strategy is all about bringing in that high-quality traffic that's going to convert in the customers. Otherwise, you've got nothing.
Did we say what SEO was just a few minutes back?
Yeah, you really ought to, and my bad for not saying it. But search engine optimization, or SEO, is the process of optimizing your content, your website, the files, the background, the code, to make Google see you as a more relevant source for the keyword search terms. And you have to be very specific about what you're going to do.
Do enough shop owners understand it?
No, and that's okay. It's just like other services that they might use. They don't have to understand it to the point where they could do it, or they could be able to see how everything's going. What they need to find is a company that they trust who's going to do a great job at it, and they got to partner with somebody. This is a long-term solution.
In simple terms, it's what Google, they send these nanobots or something out to read sites, and they come back and they say, oh, so if somebody searches on winter tires and they just so happen to be located in, you know, your town, New York,
right,
you may have a presence on page one.
Yes, very possible. Right. And when you think about search terms, if you don't attach a locality to it, meaning if you say winter tires and you don't say New York, Then you're doing a national search. So coming up under national searches is a little more difficult. However, that's where paid search comes into play, where you can go after keywords based on geographics and not just keywords in general. So paid search is powerful that way. But the keywords in general, if you know that you can draw traffic, you've got a solution for winter tires, if you got content on your website for it and Google's delivering them to you, yeah, then the next step is to make sure you have something that says when you land on the site that you do sell winter tires, so the customer doesn't just leave thinking you don't sell that, because that's how common that is too. They bring them in for a keyword that they were trying to get, but then there's no content on the website or no way to – what's the next step? I'm here. Now what do I do? Do I order them online? Do I give you a call? There's no call to action. And that's the biggest failure in this industry, is developing sites with clear call to actions.
So you walked into an empty room and you're by yourself.
That's it. So congratulations. You brought somebody to the store and didn't tell them what to do once they got there.
And you never told them what door to go in for what reason.
That's it. Okay. Right.
It's amazing how we can talk about web portals. And Google comes up like in every other sentence when you talk about this stuff. So I'm going to belabor the point one more time and ask you a question. There's a new Google search feature that was announced sometime in August to make an appointment with shops if they have some kind of software. Help me understand that, because I didn't quite get it.
Yeah, you know, some things I can speak to really well, and some things we just don't know how it's going to get approached. Google is really, really good at ready, fire, aim. They throw stuff out there absolutely not knowing whether it's going to work, and not even understanding if they have the technology to launch it just yet. And that's another one of those tools that's really kind of haphazardly. We did give them a call to find out what's exactly going to be behind this, and you really don't get an answer. But the other part is too, is they don't roll it out everywhere. They do small rollouts in different marketplaces, so we haven't seen it in a trying to chase it around to see where it actually will pop up, but we haven't seen it very much yet.
But you're going
to
be on this however it needs to work. You're going to make it work, right?
Yeah, we're very fortunate that we're Google partners, so we get kind of notifications when they're going to roll stuff out. We hear about it a little bit in advance, but there's when it's brand new, there's not a lot of data out just yet. It's just like Google has a program for menu boards that very few people know about at all. And that's a program that they rolled out. They're not quite sure how they're going to approach it just yet. We talked to them a little bit about it to see if that's something that they're going to get really strong with. It's one of those up-in-the-air things.
Tell us what it's about, menu boards.
So, well, it's real common in shop environments to have menu boards.
Yeah, exactly.
Something on the back of the counter.
But they're going to put that up on Google?
Well, Google's talking about rolling out its own service for menu boards. It won't be anything that'll be what you see is what you get kind of programming. It'll be something a little more complex. And I think it's more their purpose is designed for more larger operations than really one man shows or single store operations. But it's there.
So do you think that it would be on the right-hand side of the search? And it would be, let me think of restaurant. Do you think the restaurant's menu would pop?
Well, right now you can do some searches, and what comes up is a carousel. So you can see on the top of the page a lot of times, especially restaurants, the industry by industry, they try things out to see how the users interact with them, and then they make changes. Well, right now you can get a carousel up on top that has a row of restaurants. That'll show you, here's all the different selections of Japanese or Chinese restaurants that you're looking for here in the area. And then there are opportunities to click on one and I want to make a reservation to click to call with a phone number. I mean, they make it pretty nifty to do these kind of things.
Let's go to an area about reviews. People had a good experience or a bad experience and they get on one of the social sites and yell about something good or bad. How important is it to respond to a review, be it positive or negative?
Yeah, very important, particularly negative, right? If there's anything negative, you don't want to leave it sitting out there and not responded to. Because even if you can't resolve the matter with the customer, we know that's a reality. You're not going to be able to help everybody. But even if you didn't come to a resolve, the point being is that you made an effort at it. And the visibility, the transparency from the outside looking in, that you actually care enough about your business to make that kind of effort is really what people want to see. They know you're not perfect. Nobody's expecting 100%. As a matter of fact, if you have 100%, if you got all 5 stars and all 100%, that definitely just makes you one thing that is almost an absolute, which is a liar. nobody's getting all 100% reviews. If you've been around for 5-10 years, you've been around for 6 months, maybe, but.
Okay. I get it. Who in the shop is responsible for monitoring that? In, I guess what I'm saying is owner needs to be sure he's monitoring what's being said, but do they ever delegate that responsibility?
We don't see them delegating that except to a professional company to help them with their marketing. But there is ways, simple ways of monitoring your own, you know, your own social media, monitoring your reviews, what's being talked about you. And that's creating a Google alert. If you go to Google and just type in create Google alert and go to Google, type that in, it'll show you how to create a Google alert through your system to where it'll notify you anytime your business name comes up or your email comes up or your name comes up, and they'll send you notifications saying, hey, this just popped up. And that's one way to see all the reviews as they happen live in the search. And then you can react to them that way. Now, if you don't want to pay attention to it, well, then there's plenty of professional companies out there who will do the monitoring for you and help you with that. And then, of course, if you've got some not so nice reviews, there's plenty of companies out there as well that can help you do some repair and damage repair to make that look a little bit better too.
There's this thing called analysis paralysis. You know that?
I'm familiar with it.
I'm sure you are. And there's a lot of things that come out of Google and or site management that tells you what's going on, where it's going on from. Is that something that owners should really be worried about?
Yeah, I think there's metrics that you should be paying attention to each time, because there's the KPIs or the key performance indicators to tell you how your marketing is doing. And you, every owner should absolutely have their finger on the pulse of the business, because realistically, the measurement of phone calls for a general repair shop, the measurement of how busy you're going to be over the next few weeks is the measurement of the new phone calls. And having that kind of key performance indicators, like at least being reviewed at least weekly, if not monthly, to see how the marketing is working, and then connecting that to, you know, how many cars we actually get in the shop. I mean, there's a lot of pieces, like you said before. Your the website's got to work, and then it's got to convert, and then your phone skills got to be great, and then your customer service skills got to be great, and then your sales skills got to be great. And those are all things that are being measured in between.
So if I have a website and my webmaster has data for me, analysis, bounce rates, and whatever, how important is it to pay attention to that?
Yeah, very important. And it's really the partnership between who's doing your internet marketing and the business is extremely important, because the only way for them to know whether it's working or not is to get that kind of feedback from the shop owner. And is, you know, what's the phone call volume like? What are the, you know, what are the customers calling about? You know, how many you're actually closing? And that kind of helps feedback so that the account can be, and the system can be tailored to the shop owner's needs. So one of the things that we do that many other people do as well is we record the phone calls, so then we can go back and listen to the calls and see how they actually do on the phone and see what kind of calls are coming in. And then we can tailor the account a little bit to make it a little higher quality.
That's excellent. The culture of your company, what's this hot dog stuff all about?
Yeah, well, everybody loves a good hot dog, but everybody really loves a good ballpark dog. So we're famous for our hot dogs cooking. There, people usually come. We call it, it's actually now not hot dog day anymore. Now it's open house day. So people come kind of from all over to have a hot dog with us. But we steam them in a commercial steamer. And of course, we do all the fixings and chili and slaw and all the goodies that go with them. And it's, you know, it's very important that the team here feels that, you know, understands just how much they're appreciated. It's a real opportunity for everybody to get together and have a nice lunch. You know, we save some of our recent wins to kind of announce at some of those events so everybody can hear hear what's going on. It's all about building a culture of transparency, so the team here knows everything that's going on, and they also get a chance to share each other's great information, and also so they get to see what other different departments are doing.
The best takeaway that you have from having been a shop owner into what you're doing today, when you think about where you are, what's the one thing that says, I am so glad I experienced that, lived it, believed that? What is that?
So that's actually real easy for me, because this is, of course, it's a real nice segue talking about the culture of the company. So, you know, like you said, I worked in California with my family from my dad started a business in 1971, and I was there till really 12 years ago. Well, we moved to North Carolina, just wanted to raise our kids in a different place. And working with my dad, my brother, all those years was one thing that I really learned from my dad from very, very early on. We're talking about from the late 70s when I used to go to the shop and just push a broom or reorganize the magazines in the counter. And either that or you know, just move lead weights from one place to another and thought that I was busy, right? So, so from all that time up until really all the recent years and when I left, there's one thing I learned from my dad, and that people are everything. And that it's not just the customers that walk in the door. It's not just the, it's not just the vendors. It's absolutely about the internal people as well. And that's, you know, all part of taking really good care of people, caring about people, really taking interest in their lives, you know, looking for ways to build relationships. You know, my dad built the business on a handshake and business relationships. You know, people gave him credit when they didn't know who he was. All on a handshake and a smile, because he knew how to build business relationships.
That's how it was done back then.
That's it. So, I mean, that was my takeaway is, you know, it's all about people.
Excellent. What books are you reading right now?
I've always got a couple books, but, you know, I reopened again the Daily Drucker. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
So I read it once quite a while ago, and I reopened it again and just kind of reading through there. Get all sorts of little tidbits and little jewels inside there that are actually really, really good. I've been spending more time getting ready, I putting together my own book at the moment. So,
okay. Should we know what it's about?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to tell just a little bit about it. It's, you know, when I built this business, I did something very unique in most marketing companies. I bootstrapped this company. I didn't build it with any VC money. I didn't take out any big loans. I built it organically over time. And when we first started, I didn't have room for having full-time employees. So I used some of the local moms in the neighborhood, and I used their part-time availability when their kids were at school. And I found people who were incredibly gifted in marketing who could help me get the company off the ground. And I used that to grow the company very slowly as we continue to grow. So it's scaling a business is very challenging. But you don't have to take out a couple $1 million in order to grow a successful company. And this may have been a little bit more old school, but we've never had any debt. And we've never not been able to pay our bills. We've always been profitable. So the book is actually called Scale, and it's a book about building a business from scratch and building it in an organic, profitable way from day one, and the way that you can do it to not only, you know, benefit the community, but benefit the people who are working in the community, and then being a benefit to our industry. And it's I think it's going to be a lot of good information.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea to write about, but I love the title, Scale.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like it too.
Nice job. Well, when's that coming out?
So we're probably a year away.
Yeah. You're the second podcast guest in the last 2 or 3 months that's writing a book. Donnie Cipher is also writing
a
book.
Donnie's a good guy.
And he's not writing it about the industry. He actually is a little bit about transportation. But if you, and as, I guess it's a plug to go back and listen to Donnie's podcast, and you'll hear all about it. What if I failed to ask you, or something you'd like to say to our listeners?
Well, you know, I think one thing to add when you start talking about internet marketing, it's, you know, it's good to look back. It's good to look and see how we got to where we're at. But it's really important to look over what's the next year and 5 years going to look like, and see kind of the future. You know, besides, of course, mobile is huge. We talked a little bit about that and how that's going to continue to play out. There's certainly no less cell phones being sold, so that's not going away anytime soon. But what's really going to rock everybody's world as it comes out, as it continues to roll out, is the tolerance of the customer for really bad web design or really poor effort at internet marketing is going to start becoming less and less tolerable. So the websites that were working okay, you know, 4 to 5 years ago that were, I mean, obviously really not built around the shop's, the branding, really not built around anything that's for the community. I mean, you got a guy with a one man operation, with a Lamborghini Gallardo on the front, you know, his first picture. That's not likely in the shop today, nor ever. Right. it needs to be a true representation of the business. And there's going to be less and less people who are going to say, oh, that's okay, it's just a simple website, I'm just going to call. People are going to turn to that and they're going to go, wow, that's no effort whatsoever. I'm really not okay with that. And if you want to talk about the audience who's going to really dictate that, is the millennials. They don't have tolerance for lack of effort on the internet. Either you do it or don't do it. But I'm not going to forgive you for making a really kind of really poor effort at it.
Don't falsify. Yet you're also saying that the bar is going to be raised.
The bar is definitely going. It's going up right now as we speak. There's less and less people who are tolerating poor design, poor websites, bad links, just hard to find information. It's just, it's getting to be where they want it faster.
Okay. So give me two things that are raising the bar on sites today.
So design, just in general. So you've seen some design sites that are out there these days that are just absolutely stellar to look at. And maybe you've seen a couple websites that are even using video in the header where they have like moving pictures. I mean, it's not super common these days. We've only got a couple sites built that actually have that. We've only got one client account that has that currently because it's not easy to do. And you got to get great video footage too, which means we had to fly to go get it. So it's not easy, but it looks spectacular. Well, yeah, outside our industry, it's getting more common. So every shop is not being compared to the shop owner down the street. You're being compared to every other website that they run across. Not they don't look and go, oh, this is okay for automotive.
No. Right.
They look and say, well, this looks like mud compared to what I just looked at 5 minutes ago with Apple or whoever that it might have been that they looked on their website.
Great point about the millennials, which is the biggest share of the workforce today, slightly above the boomers. And every day it continues to grow and they have a significant say in where they spend their money and how and why they spend their money.
And they're capable of spending money. They have spendable income. This is not a poor class of people coming through that are not able to maintain their vehicles. They're driving nice cars.
Well, I learned a lot. I hope our listeners learned a lot. I'm sure they did. Danny Sanchez, President and CEO of Auto Shop Solutions. Danny, thank you for being with us and going on point.
I really enjoyed it, and thanks for having me, and I'm glad to come on anytime you want to talk websites again.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.